You're in tune with What It Is on WNCW. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Carol Rifkin and Bob Hinkle. Today, we're talking about the Velvet Underground effect. Looking back to the passing of Alex Chilton of Big Star brought this topic to mind. Big Star, a band that was hugely influential to other bands, wasn't as much of a commercial success. And the band that I'd like to start the talk with today, Neutral Milk Hotel, not really on the scene anymore, just had a couple of albums, but a widely influential band in a lot of circles, more than just sort of the college rock circles that you may associate Neutral Milk Hotel with. Bands like Arcade Fire, Aquaville River, Franz Ferdinand have openly drawn from the template of music that Neutral Milk Hotel has set out. They used a lot of instruments that became sort of standards in the repertoire of a lot of other bands, like the saw, banjo, horns, and the way that they arranged it all. And a lot of people have, more famous people, have wound up covering Neutral Milk Hotel songs in their concerts. Folks like Drive-By Truckers, Rilo Kiley, Wilco, Matt Pond, PA, and Mason Jennings have all been covering Neutral Milk Hotel music. Jeff Mangum, a singer-songwriter from Ruston, Louisiana, and a little town that wound up spawning a lot of musicians, including Neutral Milk Hotel, but also folks from Olivia Tremor Control, Apples and Stereo, and so forth. And so that's kind of what we're going with today on What It is a look at some of the bands, some of our favorite examples of artists and bands that have been widely influential, maybe not as much of a commercial success.
Well, I think every genre probably has an important group like that. I think in old-time music and traditional music, the Highwood String Bands in the 1970s is the quintessential band that changed the face of hippie old-time music. The Highwood String Band and the Greengrass Cloggers, I actually was there for a lot of the later era of that, played every folk festival in the nation, and they were the first one to take the old-time music and those same tunes and just kind of rock them out. They didn't, and nothing was electric. It was banjo, fiddle, you know, guitar and bass, but they just gave it a little bit of push and a little rock and a little drive that took the tradition to a different level and were just unbelievably popular, went all over the world. The band didn't last long. They did maybe 3 CDs. I could be wrong there. Sorry, folks, but I think they did 3 CDs. They're getting ready to make a documentary about the Highwood String Band. They didn't end well. They're not necessarily friends. I think they've only gotten together a few times to play. But their influence is amazing. I don't know of anyone else that exerted more influence, except maybe the Holy Modal Rounders were a pretty famous band that did the same thing. They probably created a niche for the Freight Hoppers, were also a hugely influential group. And they might have created the niche for the Old Crow Medicine Show, you know, to step in there. And kind of, I think we call it the festival sound now, as opposed to the totally traditional sound. But it definitely happened in old-time music that way.
And as they say on television, and now for something completely different. in the New York club scene in the 70s, early to mid-70s, when ska was making its entrance into almost everything, you know, it sort of wasn't, and then all of a sudden it was everywhere. There was a band that I actually managed for a while in New York called the Uptown Horn Band, which was a band of band of 4 horns and then rest of the traditional instrumentation. We got them a deal in the UK, and they made a record there, which was influential in clubs, in club play in the UK, and sort of came back to New York. There's a wonderful title. The record's called Sex With My Ex Sent Me to the Chiropractor. The rest of the chorus is, I never considered her love to be such a damaging factor. But for a couple of years in the New York club scene, everybody was using the same kind of horn lines and everybody was sort of making cute titles to the point where the Uptown Horn Band had a tough time following up because they followed up eventually with a song called You're Cute, But Not That Cute. And they were an enormously,
I like that.
Yeah, enormously influential band in their time. And the horns ended up touring behind a whole bunch of bigger artists. Toured with the Giles Band for the Freeze Frame tour. So that's another one of those. New York is a huge hotbed of anything, and you know, a hot button gets pushed, everybody goes with it for 20 minutes, and then, you know, you've got to do the next thing. But theirs was a good long-lasting year or two.
That song almost sounds like the inspiration for the Flight of the Conchords song, Most Beautiful Girl in the Room. Did you ever hear that?
Yes.
Almost sounds like they might have lifted from that act.
How can I love you if you don't go away?
Right. You know, then there are artists who may have recorded a fair amount, but who have one shining moment which influenced so many people for so many years. Benny King and Stand By Me, for instance. I mean, how many times has Stand By Me been recorded by how many people? And it's all due to that initial version of Stand By Me. And what the latest thing, I don't know if you've seen this, but the guys that did a documentary all around the world of people singing.
Oh, right.
You start out
that.
With New York City with some guys, one band singing the first eight bars of Stand By Me. Then you go to Zambia where there's another group singing the same song.
That was
goes
great.
All the way around the world. Uh-huh. And, you know, that's a Benny King influence. I'm not sure he wrote it, but I think he did.
What do you think? Email us whatitis@wncw.org. The Velvet Underground Effect, bands and artists that were far more influential in music circles than they were as far as commercial success. For WNCW, I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Carol Rifkin and Bob Hinkle. Until next time.